church here. We call it the Antioch Church. You want to talk about a sending church. It is the example for us in the Bible about being a sending church. And so God has given us the book of Acts. And recorded in Acts is the first 30 years of church history. And this is the history that God wanted us to see. He wanted us to be able to read it and to know it. And so this is what He's given to us as an example to us. And so we can read the book of Acts and see the actions of the disciples, the apostles, and the early church. And we can see what was taking place there. You've got to realize that the Jerusalem church is kind of being quiet at this moment in the book of Acts. Kind of passing from the scene pretty much. And the church at Antioch is coming to the forefront. And the church of Antioch is out in the middle of nowhere, but they're doing something for God. They're following the Great Commission. And so God has placed them here for us to see them. Hopefully you have found Acts chapter 13. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And we want to understand biblical missions. We want to understand the foundation of missions. And if we're going to do that, we need to draw it from the Bible. Do you believe that the Bible is sufficient to teach us all that we need to know about missions?
Amen.
It is. It is. And so let's draw right out of Acts chapter 13. The Bible says, now they were in the church that was at Antioch, and it lists five men there, different men, different colors of skin, and different gifts, but listed five men in the church there. Notice in verse 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost separated some out. See, separated the two out of the five. Left three there. Barnabas and Saul Paul were very familiar with those two men in the Bible. Notice that God had called those two men in verse 2. And when they had fasted and prayed, talking about the church laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. And so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed, and out they went. Okay? Now we're not going to be able to pick up the phone and catch up with them. You're not going to have Viber and check in on them, or WhatsApp, or you know, whatever else communication. Going to be very limited communication. So what did they do when they went out? Look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 21. And in Acts chapter 14, verse 21, it kind of gives us a small preview of what they did when they went out. Notice in Acts chapter 14, verse 21, and when they had preached the what? That's what they did. They went out and evangelized. They went out and shared the gospel. Our church needs to do that here. Every church needs to be doing it. Every believer. They went and proclaimed and preached the gospel. They evangelized. They shared the good news. Notice secondly in verse 21, and had done what? Taught many. Now this is the same word that you find in Matthew chapter 28. Not the word for instruction, but the word to make disciples. And so here they are evangelizing those who received the message and were saved and born again. Now they are discipling them. And then look, if you will, down in verse 23, they ordained elders, right? In every church, they set up leadership. They set up new churches with the believers. Notice they prayed with fasting and they commended them and recommended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And they left. And they left a body of believers in these places. Notice they returned to their home church in verse 26 from the sending church. They went back to Antioch, right? They'd been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they, what's the word?
Fulfilled.
I'm telling you that in our day and in our churches, we can fulfill the Great Commission. The Bible says, and when they were coming and gathered the church together, they rehearsed and they reviewed and they gave testimony all that God had done with them, and how He, God, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples, and the next thing you know, they've gone out on their second missionary journey. So just keep these things in mind, because this is the pattern that we saw, this is the method of missions that we see in the book of Acts, and we want to duplicate that in our work today. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for our time together tonight. Thank You for dinner. Thank You for all that has gone into this missions conference and this missions revival of our hearts. Thank You for each person who has played a role and a function to allow all of this to come together, that we can gather together. And thank You for this church. Thank You that they have a heart for the Great Commission. God, I pray that You'd watch over our missionaries, watch over those that we've sent out of this building and they are part of our lives and they are serving somewhere else around the world and going through difficulties and persecutions and things that we could not even imagine. And we pray for them tonight. And we thank you for them, for they are helping us to fulfill your great commission. And Lord, help me as I preach tonight. And Lord, I want to do it a little bit faster if I can. But help us to be able to understand and just grab the biblical foundation, the biblical principles, and then help us to implement those into our church and into our personal lives, and help all of us to be great commissioners, that we would have your heartbeat. It'd be the overarching goal in our life to work through this local church and to fulfill what you've given us to do, the work of the ministry, the Great Commission. Help me to preach tonight. Help us to hear with our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. We need to return to what I call a biblical Christianity, which will have at its heart the Great Commission. And if we're going to return to a biblical Christianity, we need to return to the study of the Bible and draw our principles from the Word of God. Now, I believe that God's missionary agency is the local church. Now, missions, when we talk about missions, it's not a program. Missions is not a department in our church. Missions is not something that just the missionaries on the field, those folks, it's what they do. We must not think of missions as one of our ministries. See, all of these things are wrong thoughts about and wrong thinking about missions. See, as a church, we often look at things in a subdivided way. Well, we got the Sunday school department, we got the Christian education, we got the nursery, we got the youth, we got the children, we got the choir, and we call all of these things our missions, and usually we'll have a department that we call missions. I want you to think for a moment about youth ministries. Think about how much energy, how much effort, how many finances that we pour just into our youth department. And now we have this movement across America where we have youth pastors, right? We have youth pastors, and think about the cost of that. And then think about our missions department. What would you think about having a missions pastor? I run into very, very few churches that have a missions pastor, but I want to say to you, you already have a missions pastor. He's right over there. He is the one that's leading the charge of the Great Commission in this local church. But what I'm saying to us tonight is oftentimes in our American churches, we look at a host of things in a subdivided way, and we look at missions in the same way as just one of our departments. And what I'm trying to say is that missions is the table that everything sits on. Vacation Bible School, missions. Sunday school department, missions. Christian school, missions. It's all missions. It's all a part of the Great Commission. And we need to be able to see in all of our ministries, at the heart of that, the Great Commission, including the nursery. You say, now what in the world does a nursery have to do with the Great Commission? Well, they keep babies in there so it's quiet, so that people out here can hear, and some will be saved in here, and some will grow in here. Amen? And that's part of the Great Commission, and that's a ministry and not a job. And if you don't understand why you are doing nursery ministry, then you don't understand the bigger picture. And I want to say to you that most of our Christians don't understand the bigger picture of the Great Commission and why we do what we do and why it's so important. So missions is the table that everything sits on. And think about this. Who are our missions workers? Who are the mission workers? Every believer is a mission worker, right? Are you an ambassador for Christ? Are you a Christian? Have you been given the ministry of reconciliation? Yes or no? But see, oftentimes in the church setting, we don't see ourselves as missionaries. And then we think about the field that we're supposed to be working in, the field. Oh, the field is somewhere far, far away. That's missions work. No. What did Acts 1:8 teach us? The missions work is also local. And it's regional. And it's cross-cultural. And so where is the mission field? Tell me where it's at.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. Every believer is a missionary. And the field is everywhere, and we can do missions here, and we can do missions a county over, and we can do missions a state over, and we can do missions a country over, and we can do missions across the ocean if we need to, and we do. Missions is the work of the church, not the work of a few individuals. The worldwide missions effort is a team effort. Not just our missionaries, not just those that have been sent out, but every believer of a local church is part of the missions team, therefore a part of the missions effort. And so it doesn't make a difference whether we're in New York or New Delhi or wherever we might be. We're part of the missions team and we're to do missions work. So don't be thinking that missions is somewhere else and I'm not a part of that and I just come here and this is what I do and this is my little realm and I'm not a missionary and I'm not to work missions. Don't think that way. It's unbiblical thinking. Missions should be the foundational work of the local church. And so God's missionary agency is the local church. Now think about subcontracting. Got any construction people in here? You know what it means to subcontract something out? It means you're not going to do it. You have somebody else do it. Many of our churches here in America, they have subcontracted out a department in their church. You want to guess which department that is? It's missions. If we had to put at the top of the list a department that we subcontracted out, it would be missions. We want other people to do that. But I'm saying to you that Jesus said this, I will build my church, and the church is the vehicle that God established, that God created to get His program and to get His plan and get His work done in the world to reach this world for His Son. The church is God's plan. And His work is called the Great Commission. Jesus did not say, I will build my Christian school. He did not say, I'll build my Christian radio station. He did not say, I'll build my crisis pregnancy care center. He did not say, I'll build my Gideon's. He did not say, I'll build my Christian college. He did not say, I'll build my missions agencies. He said, I will build the church. The local church. Now you think about all those other ones, if they're outside of a local church, we have a term for them in America. What's the term? Para-church. You know what that means? They're not a church. They're not a church. They're outside of the church. God created the church. He initiated the church. One day He's coming for the church. We bring our finances to the church. There's baptism that takes place at church. There's communion at church. God gave directions for the leaders of the church. Yes or no? But when you have all these other organizations, what kind of leaders are leading them? And where are the directions for those? So they're not in there. It's the church. Now, I'm not saying those other ministries are bad or wrong. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that God established the church, and through the church, His work is to be done. And we, as a local church now, we are responsible for the Great Commission. Now, we can try to shove it off somewhere. We can try to push it somewhere else. But it doesn't make a difference. If they're doing it, we are still responsible for it. Now, I'm not at home when my wife was teaching our kids. She was the teacher in the homeschool, the Johnson's homeschool, or whatever you want to call it. But I was the principal. And as the father of the home, who's responsible for the nurture and admonition of our children to the Lord? I wasn't there. I'm gone. I'm gone a lot. But it still made, I'm still responsible. And as a church, we are responsible for the Great Commission. We're responsible for the work of the ministry. And when you read at the end of each gospel, you go through those Great Commission passages. There's five of those. And I wanted to go through each one of them, but I just want to give you a couple things just to remind us. Jesus came and he spake, right? All power is given unto me. And then he gives us the first word, verse 19. What's that word in Matthew 28? Go. Go. That word go is aggressive, not idle. That word is urgent. Not tomorrow, not later, but now. That word is continuous, not optional, but continual. We're to go and to keep going, and we are to make disciples. He did not say make believers. See, evangelism is just a part of the Great Commission. Whereas if you ask many Christian people, many Christian pastors, tell me what the Great Commission is, oftentimes all they say is evangelization. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, go, preach the gospel, have people come, but then baptize them, then teach them and disciple them, and it's just a, evangelization is just a part of the Great Commission. There's more to it. In Mark, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe are what? Those that believe are saved. And those who don't believe, I won't use the word in here tonight, but it's a biblical word. And so he gave us the eternal ramifications of our work. Heaven and hell hang in the balance of that gospel message and a person's decision. And if you and I fail to deliver the gospel, and we had opportunity to deliver the gospel, Paul talks about something in the New Testament about having something on his hands that he didn't have, and it was called blood on our hands. We got a work to do, an eternity for someone, up or down. And Mark speaks to that. Luke talks about the gospel. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission, the forgiveness of sin, should be preached in his name among all nations. We're to be witnesses of that. And so you see the content of the gospel. You see the message itself. And our function is to be witnesses of that. Our job simply is telling what he did and what he can do. What he did, who he was, what he did, and what he can do. It's a great opportunity. And then in John it says this, peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And we don't need to wait for a call. We don't need to wait for some banner to come over our bed at night telling us to go. We've already been told to go. We've already been commanded to do the Great Commission. We don't need another, someone else coming along and seconding that in our life. This is our work. This is our work for our whole life. This is our work as a local church. This call continues until he returns. That's why it's not just given to the disciples. If it was just given to the disciples, how in the world could they reach the whole world? And they're dead now. This is given to the local church to do. And then we come to the book of Acts, and he says, we shall receive power. Praise the Lord. We need that power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we receive that power at the moment of our salvation. Now we have the capacity. Now we have the ability to do the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see the successive stages, local, regional, cross-cultural. I find that churches are in places with so many different ethnic groups and never think to reach them. They just want to stay with their own crowd. When you read the book of Acts in Acts chapter 13, that was a cosmopolitan group of people, of white guys and black guys in the leadership of that church. Our church should be cross sections of everyone, yes or no? God is not a respecter of persons. And so we reach. And so if we're going to do this missions work, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission as Jesus has given it to us, first of all, it's going to require from us that we understand. See, if the bus driver doesn't know where he's driving, you're probably not going to get there. And there are a lot of churches that are headed in the wrong direction. And for the people on the bus, as long as they feel the bus moving, they think they're all right. But how long are you going to ride the bus when it's going in the wrong direction? How long are you going to stay on the bus? Now, people like to shout on the bus, turn left, turn right. And sometimes they do turn left and they do turn right, but they still don't know where they're going. So as a church, we got to know where we're going. And we got to get our ship turned. And we're focused on what Jesus told us to do. And this is our work and this is our ministry and this is our heartbeat. We want to have the same mission as Jesus Christ had. He was sent and our mission is just like His. And so we get that turned and we're going in the right direction and we understand what we're all about and what we're here for. And then we can line our church people up against the wall, from the children to the youth to the middle folks and to the senior saints. And we ask them, what's the work of our church? Why are we here? What are we trying to accomplish? And hopefully they could be able to say, we're trying to do the Great Commission. We're trying to win souls. We're trying to baptize the believers. We're trying to disciple them. They could be able to tell you what we're all about, what we're trying to accomplish. But I could take you to church after church, and I'm not talking about bad churches, but good churches, and people have no idea what they're doing. Now, what are we going to do if you don't know what you're doing? Are you going to accomplish something if you don't know what you're doing? So you got to have understanding. And then you have to obey. Once you learn, once you understand, you have to obey. And then thirdly, it's going to take faith. It's a big task. Could you imagine? Jesus told us to reach the world. It's kind of heavy, isn't it? Well, think of the disciples. When they heard that message, reach the world, it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to take courage. We have to be determined and committed, and we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, and we need to be prepared, especially if we go somewhere in a culture change. So what is our work? We need to evangelize. We need to baptize the saved. We need to give Christian education, discipleship, instruction to the believers so they can go from immaturity to... And how many of our church people, are just immature? They don't know what's up and what's down. They know what's right and what's wrong. And how many of our pastors in America, they don't know what's up and what's down and what's right and what's wrong? And you can go in America and anything you want to find in a church, you can go and find it today. Yes or no? And if you want a golden calf maker for a pastor, you can find one. 2 Timothy talks about the itching ears, and we have them, do we not? And then when you have those things going on, and that's all happening in a local church, and the Bible teaches that each believer has spiritual gift or gifts, and you see them saved, and you see them baptized, and when you see people baptized, you're excited about that? Oh, that's a wonderful service. And then you're seeing them growing and you're putting into their life and you're watching them change their habits and change their ways and change their families and change their language and change their mind and what they used to be and what they are now. I'll tell you, there's no greater testimony to the world than a changed life. That girl goes back to the restaurant where she was working and she don't talk like she used to talk and she don't act like she used to act. And when she speaks about Jesus, other people notice the difference in that girl's life. And people are attracted to that. And so she has spiritual gifts, or he has spiritual gifts, and they begin to work in the local church. And over a period of time, some of those people We see that they have a burning desire to do more. Maybe he's going to be a pastor or a missionary, and all of a sudden somebody we led to the Lord somewhere way back, now they're getting ready to go out the door, and we're going to have a service here for them, and we're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to watch them march out that door and go to the foreign field on our behalf. Now tell me if there's any greater joy than birthing out a child like that and then birthing a church somewhere else in the world that's from your loins. Some of you get real excited about grandchildren. You've been telling me about how great it is to have grandchildren. I got one on the way. Could you imagine being a church and having a grandbaby? Most churches don't even have a baby. But having a grandbaby would be wonderful. We're looking forward to some great grandbabies. And they don't come easy, do they? And they don't come fast, do they? But God gave us a work to do, and we do that work. And so think about this now as a link in a chain. If you're not soul winning, or maybe you are soul winning, but you're not discipling, or maybe you are discipling, if you break down anywhere along that chain, you won't have workers for your local church. What are churches scrambling for? What do they need? What does every local church need? Workers. How many workers in the local church are supposed to be working? All of us. But you ask most churches, they have 10%, 20%. If you find a church that's got 30% of their people working, you found something. But I think we should be closer to 100%, yes or no? You give me a church that understands the Great Commission, they understand prayer, they understand the Bible, and they're all working, and I'll show you a powerful church. And if you've ever been a part of one of those, you know how powerful it is. And so I want to ask you, where does the church workers come from? They come from the lost. So if you're looking for workers, look to the lost. But we need workers now, right? And if you're looking to have a missionary and someone is going to plant a church or a pastor, and you're looking for someone you're going to send out full time, you know where you got to look? You got to look to the lost. And that process of coming through your church, and you can't do it overnight, but it's a work, it's a work, it's a work. And one day you have some to send, and what a great joy that is. When you've brought them all the way through, and then you send them out, and you send them out with all your heart, soul, strength, and everything that you got, and you load them with finances too, and whatever that they need, because they're birthed of your own loins. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But if we fail anywhere along the line, we'll fail to have the workers that we need for this church, and we will fail to have those to send. And when most churches look at their cabinets, when they look at their refrigerator, they don't have enough workers for themselves. And as far as workers going to the field, they have, many of them, zero. It's non-existent. And when they look down the funnel to see if there's any coming, there's not even any coming down the pipe. And so, when you have a church that's not reproducing themselves, where will they be in a few years? Where will they be? That's exactly right. And I go into churches all across our America, and you don't want to guess what the color of the hair is in there? It's gray. And they've been dying a slow death. And when we don't do what the Great Commission says for us to do, we're killing ourselves. I know good men, and they will get in a room together and they'll say, you know, our church is not doing good. What do we need to do? Our numbers are going down. What do we need to do? And boy, is there 1,000 ideas today. You don't need to worry about church growth. God didn't tell us to worry about that. God says, you get out there and you share the gospel. See, if you share the gospel and win people, guess what will happen? Your church will automatically grow. It's a byproduct of doing what we're supposed to do. And if we disciple those that are born again, those babies, and we grow them, then we'll have church workers. But today we're in a position where most of our American churches, they have to pay people for everything. Did you know that? They got to pay to get a pianist. They got to pay to get a song leader. They got to pay to get a cleaning crew. They got to pay to get the yards mowed. They got to pay, they got to pay, they got to pay, because they didn't have nobody working. And this is the shape that we're in. Because we're failing to do the most important work and the work that God has given us to do. And so, now we have some missionaries. And we have some young people, or maybe some older people. And they want to go somewhere. And they've gone off to a mission agency, or they've gone off to a college. And most of the time, the mission agencies, they go to the college. And there they have their little desk. And they're trying to recruit students and telling the students where they can go and how they can help them. And so now we got somebody who wants to go. Now here's where the church comes in. We need the church for prayers and finances. And this is the way we've been doing missions for a long time. Where is the majority of missionaries coming from? Are they coming out of our churches or are they coming out of our Bible colleges? Well, that's all coming to an end very quickly here in the States. Our Bible colleges are dying. If you haven't been to one recently, I would encourage you to go. A Bible college can change in 12 months, can it not? A lot of them are closing. Many of them are expanding just so that they can keep their doors open. When you get to dying, you do anything to keep yourself alive, including changing your doctrine and changing your positions. Because you got to grow wider and have a wider umbrella so that you can attract more students. I appreciated one school that was dying, and I visited with them, their leadership, and they said this to me: "We are who we are, and we're not changing." I like that. I want to say today that their attendance has gone up. They recognized what the other schools had done, and they decided not to go the same route. We're created to be a Bible college and to train people in the Bible and prepare them for the Lord's work. And that's what we're going to stay doing. And if God doesn't give us students, we'll just close this place up. I like that. But think about now these people that want to go to the field, these missionaries. Jesus taught us that the laborers are few, right? And we need workers, and that's the problem. So now they come back home to their home church or their sending church, and they make an announcement that we want to go here, and this is our missions agency. They're going to help us, and we need your blessing, and we need your finances. And so we pray for them, and oftentimes we'll take them on. And what do? They gain a few finances here, and then they start their gypsy life. Right? And they travel all across America and trying to raise support. Some of those people never make it to the field. And while they're out there, and finally they get to the day where they make enough money, they got enough coming in, now they can go, and now they got to learn the language. So they go to the foreign field, and they're basically in school for the next year or two. And this is what we've been doing. What I would like for us to do is to do things in order. I'd like for us to follow the Great Commission. Can we help other churches send their missionaries? Yes, we can. But sooner or later, we need to birth some of our own. We need to be soul winning. We need to be discipling. We need to be engaging them in the work of the local church. And then we need to be sending our own out. And when we get to that day where we send our own out, we're going to get behind them with as much money as we can get behind, with much energy as we can get behind them. We're not only going to send them out, we're going to go join them from time to time. We're going to be involved. We're going to send our pastor over there so he can encourage them and he can do some preaching over there. So when he comes back, he can give a real report. And then he'll be coming back and say, "I want to go again next month." Before you know it, he's gone. You don't see him anymore. He's on the mission field. What a joy that is when you raise them right out of your own church and you get behind them with your finances and your pocketbook and your life and get them to the field as fast as you can so they can get to work as fast as they can so they can reproduce what you reproduced here. And that's missions work. And that's not going to happen overnight. But if we don't begin, it might be too late. God's missionary agency is the local church. And I cannot make any excuses for any church to get them out from under God's great commission. Whether you're a small church or in a large church. Now look, we're from a little village. When I first went to that village, we had 42 people in it. I don't know if they got 20 people in that village right now. The little town of Medora, nobody hardly knows where she's at. Everything's closed in that town. Post office, school, grocery store, sawmill. Everything's closed except for that little church. We still got a dirt parking lot. But out of that little church, they've birthed some other churches. And out of those churches, they've birthed some other churches. And they're training people all over the world. And I want to encourage us. This is God's plan. And I believe that God blesses those who are obedient to Him. And let's draw our missions work right out of the Scriptures and let's go to work and watch what God can do. God's missionary agency, the local church. Let's stand to our feet.